here we are, first day of Sesshin. A little bumpy as we all begin to learn new service positions and just find our things where they are and so forth. I want to welcome our hosts here at the Grail who are here for the summer. We're here for the summer. They're here all the time. And it's so nice to have you here. So thank you for coming. And anytime you want to come and sit with us, we'd be delighted to have you. So I wonder why we're here, even. It's kind of a crazy thing. We put aside our ordinary life, and we come up here and set up a system, and then try and follow the system. And as our Shuso said, we make mistakes. And isn't that a wonderful time to look at our mind and how we are with ourselves? Isn't it wonderful to see that? You know, it would be terrible if we treated other people the way we treat ourselves. Think about that. I want to start off with a verse from an 8th century poet, Zen poet in China, Chao Zhan. And the name of the verse is "The Creek Out Front." We could think of this Duncan Avenue as the creek out front, really. Spring songs already quiet. The ancient source still bubbles forth. It's a mistake, my modern friends, to wound the heart to try to cross that stream. So, spring songs already quiet. So the spring, the kind of beginnings of our practice or our lives, or those early years, those early parts, are already past. So it's already quiet, that first push towards practice. And he says, but the ancient source still bubbles forth. Something really important remains. And then, it's a mistake, my modern friends, to wound the heart, to try to cross that stream. What does he mean by that, I wonder? What would it be like to simply be present to that creek out front? The stream that's always right in front of us. The stream that's really who we are. Not the stream that we have in our minds about ourselves and the world and others, but the actual stream of our life. John says this ancient source is still bubbling forth. It's here right now. That ancient root that came from the foothills of India and survived some 2,500 years, that root bubbling source is right here. Bubbles at the Grail, bubbles in New York. Bubbles in La Paz. It's always available to us. Even if we're swaying on the subway on a hot day, the spring is right there. It is a mistake to wound the heart to try and cross. Why struggle? Why berate ourselves that we're not getting it when all we have to do is see it, experience it, stop for a moment. You can be on the A train, and there it is. How can we do that? How can we reveal that real truth to ourselves? Sit up straight. Stay awake. Take the dignified posture of Zazen. It's not pushing or slumped. It's the dignified posture of Zazen. And all those who followed this practice, whether you're sitting in a chair or on a bench or a cushion, sit with that sense of dignity, that sense of aliveness. Maybe some curiosity. When we're struggling, that's when we're wounding the heart. We're grasping for something that we've made up in our mind that isn't real. It's something we heard about. Let's not limit ourselves during this sesshin and during this ango with that kind of grasping. Maybe we could just sit Zazen for the sake of Zazen. Just sit Zazen for the sake of it. Not to get anything. Not reaching out, reaching in. Let's trust our original intention, our original vow. Trust that ancient source. You know, most people just see their whole lives as if in a dream. These relationships and ideas we have that we create in our minds. Narratives and stories based on something with mother, father, brother, sister, schoolmates. All of these structures. And then we whine, we create these stories. And we respond as if that's what's happening now. And Zazen is the way we can clear our mind. We get stop. And just let all those threads drop away. And there's a freshness and aliveness that comes to us. How do we release that stuff? There's a great story that I came across about how to release all of these old thoughts, old patterns. Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese master, contemporary, he's still living. Wonderful. Wonderful, peaceful energy that he has given, but he's given quite a few talks and written many books, and this is from one of his talks. He told this story. I just thought it was so perfect for today, for our first day of sesshin. He talks about how the Buddha was sitting one day with about 40 monks that were sitting with him, and they had an excellent lunch, and they were enjoying their company of one another. When a farmer came by, the farmer was very unhappy, was very upset, and he asked the Buddha and the monks if they had seen his cows passing by. And the Buddha said, no, we haven't seen your cows passing by. And the farmer says, monks, I am so unhappy. I have 12 cows, and I don't know why, but they all ran away. I also have acres of a sesame seed plantation, and the insects have eaten up everything. I suffer so much, sometimes I want to kill myself. And the Buddha said, dear friend, we haven't seen any cows passing by here. Perhaps you should look in another direction. The farmer thanked him and turned away. The Buddha turns to his monks and says, my dear friends, you are the happiest people in the world. You don't have any cows to lose. If you have too many cows to take care of, you will be very busy. That is why, in order to be happy, you have to learn the art of cow releasing. You release the cows one by one. In the beginning, you thought that those cows were essential to your happiness, and you tried to get more and more cows. But now you realize that cows are not really conditions for happiness. They constitute the obstacle for your happiness. That is why you are determined to release your cows. I love the sweet way Thich Nhat Hanh phrases this. But I wonder, what cows need to be released here? Think for a moment. Think. What are we grasping? Each one of us. No one left out. Each one of us. Holding on. Holding on. What do we think we want? What do we think we have to hold on to? Who do we think we are? What are you doing here? Are we here to get something? To get rid of something? Maybe we come with one intention and it begins to shift as we begin to release our cows. And we realize that determination, which it requires for people to come and say, I'm going to sit for 8 days and put aside my other affairs. There's a wonderful intention and determination there. But why not allow it to be in a direction that serves you, rather than discourages you? Aren't we here to wake up? And waking up is simply how to live our life. Realizing our life, the preciousness of our life. We're not here to support our own or someone else's striving or grasping. We're here to support one another to release these cows, to practice together. You know, that's... Poor Kaku has got the sneezes. But you know, I think that the study text that we have this year is all about how to practice together, how to support one another in order that we each can wake up right from where we are right now. Dogen's Bodhisattva's Four Method of Practice. It's kind of a code for how to support each other. It's very humble, very simple text. Read it many times. It's not like so much of Dogen's more poetic works where it's not quite clear what he's saying. Here he's very straightforward. And it seems fitting to me that our Shuso Bokushu, who is our lead practitioner this summer, is someone who cares so deeply about social justice issues. He is so involved in issues of economic justice, individual fairness. He cares about these, and it seems to me that that's what this text is truly about. It's not just about how we are in our little sangha, but it is about how we are in the world. How can the bodhisattva, the awakening being, how can that being serve others? Serve others right now at this time when there's such suffering in the world, such strife. Can we find a way to offer our empathy and compassion without sticking to our ideas about how it should be? This is how we find a way to serve as bodhisattvas in the world. Bokushu, our Shuso, has created an Ango commitment form for us. And it can really serve the purpose of sharpening our insight into our motivations and how we are around these four methods of the bodhisattva. I think Bokushu is a wonderful model for us of sincere and ongoing practice. What a struggle it is to live the life of a bodhisattva. Someone who continually strives to wake up so that he or she can help others to wake up. For me, the best teaching and the best practice is simply through our activity. It's the work that gets done when no one's around. The gift that is given and not seen. Not credited. You know, in Zen we have these costumes that we wear, and we have rakusus, and we have roles to play, such as Bokushu's playing the role of leading us during the sangha. The more senior student, the less important they seem to be, really. The more senior the student, the more they kind of fade away from being seen. It's kind of like telling your lover, "Don't tell me you love me. Love me." The quiet service. I trust that if you follow this practice during the Sesshin and fiercely sit your Zazen, you will realize the ultimate value of life. You will release those old cows you've been hanging around with you. You will see the value of Zazen. Hanshan, who wrote at the same time that Chi Chao wrote a poem like this. East of me, the old lady got rich 3 or 4 years ago. She used to be poorer than me. Now she laughs that I don't have money. She laughs that I've fallen behind. I laugh that she's gotten ahead. Both of us are laughing. No stopping us in the East and in the West. Huh? Can you imagine how wonderful it would be to be so free, to laugh at your fortune and to laugh at losing your fortune? To not compare yourself to another? I think that comparing mind is the most insidious and painful mind. You know, we can compare ourselves to others around us, and I'm noticing lately that I began to compare myself to how I was before, which is a really neurotic way to go. Oh, I used to remember these things, and now I don't. So this idea of comparing is so crazy, and that's what I love so much about Hanshan's poem. He can laugh. He can laugh at change, at impermanence. We are all constantly changing. We are entering different aspects of our lives. One of the eight awarenesses is knowing how to be satisfied. That's very much like releasing your cows, knowing that just as it is today is perfect, is complete. We may be like the sparrows we hear in the morning, or the agitated crows, or that fat, lazy groundhog I saw. Or we may feel more like an obsessive ant moving back and forth with carrying sesame seeds. So many differences in the world. Does the sparrow look at the cardinal and whine? So I encourage you to really look carefully. Each time something comes up, in zazen or walking, when you get ready to eat, when you get ready to lie down, what is the assumption behind this feeling I'm having, this reaction I'm having, this sadness, this anger, this bitterness, this regret? What is the assumption that's driving that? And then let that cow go. Just let that cow go and see what's left. When there's nothing left, there's just this moment, just these Buddha and his friends sitting around having lunch. They didn't have to worry about anything because they didn't have anything to hold on to. This really would be marvelous if we can taste that during this session. So again, I encourage you, study the Ango text, really look at the commitment form and bring it to a teacher so that you can discuss it. Find the rhythms of your original self. Let me close with a gatha. Dropping off body and mind, dropping off striving, grasping, trying, dropping off me versus you, my way versus your way, and instead a sense of trust in this one body of reality, in the green of high summer, in the blue and gray of the sky, the joy in your heart. Sit zazen for the sake of zazen.